I indicated, of course, to Dr. Bernstein that I would like to continue my social work. At that time, part-time work was unknown. And it was an innovation when I suggested a half-day work plan. Although Dr. Bernstein hesitated first, he later agreed to the plan if I decided to go to law school. I was very happy about this. I then talked to my family, told them that I wanted to put myself through law school because I felt that with my brother in medical school, one sister finishing Pitt and another entering, that it was only fair that I should do this. My father couldn't quite agree, but finally did. I still wasn't completely decided, and I discussed it then with my future husband. His reaction was very strong, though never saying that I shouldn't. But he did say, if I went into this course of study, knowing what it demanded, he would step aside.
Were you on the kind of terms at that time that you could confide in him? Were your intentions towards each other
They had developed, yes. And I didn't know then just what I was going to do. I remember it was vacation time. I decided to take a trip on the lakes to Duluth and make up my mind while I was taking this trip whether or not I would go into law school or accept my husband's, how shall I put it? He wanted to get married. not plea, it wasn't a plea.
But, wasn't an ultimatum.
No. He just said that he would step out of my life. He did. It was, in a way, an ultimatum. And, anyways, that is when I decided that I was not going to go into law school. And I thought perhaps sometime later in my life I would do it. And I had to then convince him that I could go on with my social service work for a few years before I settled down to family life. Although at first he was dubious, he later said many times it was one of the best decisions that we made. Our lives became much richer because of our joint interests, his interests in social problems and legislation, and mine, of course, too, seemed to blend, and made for very interesting, a very interesting life on this level, and for many, I should say, outstanding friendships. I went on the night of my first anniversary, I left for New York to study at the New York School of Social Work for the entire summer. Many people thought that was very, very strange, but I went with my husband's blessings, and he would come to visit every other week. If you recall the days of the excursions, he would take those excursions in those days to New York.
The train excursions.
Yeah. It was before the day of the plane. Yes. And come down there. And this went on through the summer. I should have brought it, and I will look it up, a letter that he wrote regarding one of these trips when the train became derailed and what went on that trip. It is really, you remember Nate's wit. This is quite a story. I returned from this course at the end of the summer. After remaining with the family welfare group for a short time, I took a new position with the Girls Bureau, also part of the Jewish philanthropies, which at that time was considered the outstanding casework agency, which emphasized the psychiatric approach to its clients.
Now, specifically, what did the Girls Bureau do for the girls?
It worked with adolescent problem girls, problems, emotional problems, many from broken homes. They were all teenage girls or a little older. It was very difficult work, and a Miss Harriet Goldman was our supervisor and head of the agency, and she was considered one of the outstanding executives in the country at that time in the field of social work. I remember I considered it quite a compliment to be asked to join that group. As a result of this particular position, I was invited to participate in many social work meetings and conferences to discuss problems of the young teenager, which at that time was a rather novel subject, not like today. Identified very early with the National Council of Jewish Women, actually as a junior member of the Junior Council, as a member of the Junior Council, and then transferred to the senior section of the Pittsburgh section when I was married. At this time, I went on a part-time work basis with the Girls Bureau. It was following my father's death, and I wanted to give as much time as I could to my mother and family. Sydney was then already away at Mount Sinai, interning in surgery. He had a residency there. I became more active in the National Council of Jewish Women, taking on the chairmanship of publicity. It was a most interesting way to begin, because it gave me a bird's eye view of the entire organization, inasmuch as all publicity was channeled through me. I enjoyed this very much, and I was able to handle it during these months. I worked with Mrs. Berger.
Is that Mrs. Charles Berger?
Yes. Whom I found very stimulating in her own way. And we had a good working relationship. I assumed some other duties with council, spot jobs, and during my daughter's infancy and early childhood, tried to function in this way.
Bessie, why don't you tell us about your daughter?
Well, I'm coming to that. The family enjoyed good health during these early years in South Fork. We had a family doctor who we thought was very capable, though in later years, in perspective, we realized some of the
shortcomings.
Yes,
that's it.
We were very active in the community, and during the war years, I remember soliciting for Red Cross.
Was that World War
One?
One.
I was all of 11 then. That was towards the end of the war. And I recall so vividly when the armistice was declared, running up our main street to meet my mother, who was shopping, to tell her the news. Particularly since our relatives in England were so involved and we had so little correspondence during that period. Mother's brother lived there, and my first cousins are still there.
What were the cultural opportunities?
We went to Johnstown for much of our cultural life, for music, for concerts. I can remember when Chrysler came there, and we went there for one of his concerts. It was a production to take the train and all that sort of thing. I neglected to tell you that our religious school, Sunday school experience was later in Johnstown. We entered the Sunday school there, Sydney, my sister Lillian, and I would travel by train to Johnstown Sunday mornings. This is an interesting side life. My mother would get up before 6 in the morning on a Sunday after a very busy week, both in her home and in the business, to get us ready for our trip. And we would sometimes encounter some bad snowstorms on the way to the station. And one thing I remember so well is when my sister Lil, who was very tiny, got stuck in the snow drift, and we couldn't get her out. Sydney and I were so little, and we were struggling, and we knew the train would be coming soon. Well, finally we got her out through the efforts of a neighbor, a Jewish neighbor of ours, Joe Niederlander was the name, and he pulled her out, and then we couldn't find one of her boots. Well, we finally got there. But when we would get to the Sunday, when we would arrive, we would have to sit there for almost 2 hours before the classes.
Did you mind all of
this? Apparently not. We did it with love. I mean, our parents wanted us to do it, and we wanted to do it, and there was never any objection. When I think of how children today object to Sunday school and the criticisms of it, to us, of course, I realize that this was also a social experience because our Jewish friends were in Johnstown, really, and it meant a lot from that angle.
Did you have non-Jewish friends in South Fork?
Oh, yes.
Good relationships.
Very. In fact, as I told you, I have one with whom I still correspond. She's belongs to the Methodist denomination, and as a young girl, well, she was a girl in her late teens, went to then Palestine to teach music in one of the Quaker schools.
Very interesting.
And I still have letters from her, from both Palestine and from Cairo, Egypt, that she wrote to me at that time.
She sounds like a very interesting
person. She is. So that gives you some picture of some of the friendships.
Now, what did you and your sisters and brothers do for
recreation? Well, there were parties, you know. There were school activities, not too much. But, of course, in the winter, there was skating, there was sled riding. Our business helped to fill some of our lives with certain contacts, which we wouldn't have had otherwise. It was limited, naturally, and that was the reason that my parents decided we had to move, because I began to receive invitations from some of the non-Jewish boys, and Sydney was also interested in a little, not much yet, but I was, at the age of 12, you know, girls are beginning to
look
and hear from the boys, and I know, although I didn't go out with them, but I always felt that I was being deprived of doing, having fun and going to certain parties that I didn't go to.
Was this because of your parents' strong feeling, or did you agree?
Well, I went right along with
them. You did?
Oh, yes. There was no schism on that. I think it was because my parents approached things in the way that it didn't make us feel that it was a rigid law, you know. They were flexible in many ways. And as a result, there wasn't that, at least on my part, I never had that feeling. Sometimes I think I must have lacked something when I see what goes on, you know.
How would you want to describe your courtship and your marriage?
Well, it was a happy courtship, and very early my husband asked me to marry him, and I, as I said earlier, I wasn't sure that I wanted to get married yet. I knew that I cared for him very much, but I wasn't sure that I wanted to settle for marriage yet. And I hesitated. And as I also told you, I decided to take that trip, which I did. And it was after that. It was some months later before I said yes, that I would. And I remember it was, although it was very happy, I also felt very keenly what this would mean in leaving my family, because we were all young together, and it was not easy. I didn't know whether I would want that responsibility and to change my life that way, but apparently the desire for marriage was there, and to live my own life, our own lives, was there, and I followed it. So we had some very interesting days, months. We took some short trips together during that time, and started what you, Sarah, will be so interested in. I know how you like New York. We went every winter to New York just for theater, for at least 6 or 7 days, you know, and took in whatever we could at that time. And my memories of that period are very warm, and I guess like all young married, very happy.
It would be very interesting to hear of your husband's background.
I'm glad to tell you that.
And his education.
You want that?
Yes, we would want that.
Yes.
But
his was a very rich one in certain ways. Although also very, in some ways, it was a difficult one. Now, do you want me to go on with this at all anymore? To tell you a few things about my husband and his early life. My husband was born in Warsaw. And came to the United States at the early age of 5 years. His father had come here a few years before. My husband's father was a watchmaker and had a good background in Yiddish, particularly a literary Yiddish, which I learned to admire. I never thought Yiddish was a beautiful language until I heard Nate and his father discuss things in Yiddish. Although his father spoke English, but when it came to any discussions of current issues, it was done in Yiddish in his father's home. His mother was a very accomplished pianist, studied under the Tchaikovsky's grandson, and was being prepared to become a concert artist in Warsaw. My husband's maternal grandparents were extremely successful people. His grandfather was knighted by the Tsar. He was made a baron. They had a very... And as Rabbi Freehoff said when he came to visit me with Mrs. Freehoff after Nate's demise, he said, and saw the portrait of Nate's grandmother, which was done in Yalta, which was their summer home. My daughter now has this portrait. He said, this family were the aristocrats of the Jewish population, and apparently the grandfather was a business tycoon, which was true. Nate used to tell me, my husband used to tell me, that he had businesses all through Russia, all the way down, you know, from north to south. And he was a great lover of music. They used to have, every Thursday night, a musicale in their home. And of course, his daughter, who was my husband's mother, was a musician. After my husband's father left for the United States, my husband's mother, my mother-in-law, his mother, my mother-in-law, whom I never met, and his sister and my husband made their home with the grandparents until they came to the States. So he, during that period, got a great deal from his grandparents and the kind of lives they were leading, which according to the descriptions, and I've been told by people whom I met later who had lived in Warsaw at that time, that there was no exaggeration at all about this part of his life and the kind of background.
Was he born, well, he was born in Warsaw.
Yes, in Warsaw.
And came as a very small child.
He and his sister both were born there. And came to, they originally settled in Braddock, where his father worked for a jeweler. I think the name was Litt, as I recall Nate telling me. And later, they moved into Pittsburgh. My husband often spoke of the change in their lives in the contrast from Warsaw to Pittsburgh, living as they did in the very affluent area of Warsaw, enjoying an affluent life with rich cultural activities, particularly in music, where his grandparents would have musicales every Thursday. Maybe this will sound better. All right.
Now, Bessie, would you like to tell us about your husband's early education?
Nate attended the school, of course, public school in Pittsburgh, downtown. I believe he told me he went to the Franklin School originally, later transferred to the Central High School, and from there to Fifth Avenue High School. Of course, this was before I knew him. I didn't live in Pittsburgh at the time either. He was very active in literary activities, debating, also in dramatics. He graduated 1 year ahead of his class with high honors. He immediately got a job with the Washburn Crosby people, and in a very short time became, at the age of 19, a junior executive. For the gold medal flour people, who sent him to Milwaukee to learn the fundamentals and all the know-how of the flour business, as they were eager for him to remain with the firm. However, he had other ideas. Actually, he wanted to become an architect, but he decided to go to Duquesne Law School at night and hold his position with gold medal flour people. He apparently enjoyed a very fine relationship with his fellow workers, who for years kept in touch with him and called him Bill because his initials, which were NM, when he would write them quickly, looked like William. So he was given the name Bill. While attending Duquesne, he had a great deal of responsibility in his job, but apparently carried it through very, very well, and finished, took his bar exams and passed immediately. He then decided to give up his job and established a partnership in law, which continued for 14 years. That was Alpern. I don't want you to mention that. He was a very unfortunate kind of thing. During this time, he became more and more active in the community, both Jewish and non-Jewish. He was very prominent on the national level of B'nai B'rith Anti-Defamation Program. And from there, quite logically seemed to go into the field of human relations, which was a broader program of the same area as the Jewish problems. This seemed to give him the real interest that he wanted. To him, it was like another man playing golf. It was hard work, but it was also extremely stimulating and, if you can call it that, enjoyable. His contacts became broader, and of course it influenced the home very much. And
Bessie,
our child's...
Would you continue a little more fully about your marriage to Nate? We should find it very interesting.
All right, be happy to. We were married in 1928, and at that time, it was very difficult to find housing for newly married particularly. I remember I wanted to live in the Shadyside area at that time, but we could only find big homes which had to be remodeled and would have involved a lot of time and work, and I was busy with my work, and Nate was very busy with his professional work and his community activities. And so my husband had bought a duplex the year before he met me. Yes. He was already established much more than I knew when I met him. In fact, he used to say, this is just a side comment, that one of the things that appealed to him, that I was one Jewish girl that wasn't anxious to know what the material assets were. I said, well, maybe I was naive, I don't know. However, he had bought this duplex, renting the first floor to a tenant and the second floor for his parents and his sister, who was married shortly after they moved into it. But unfortunately, just before they moved into it, his mother died suddenly. Here she had bought all her linens and all the new things which was another reason for his great sorrow about her. After we scoured the city to find some quarters, we finally decided to move into the first floor apartment of this duplex.
Where was it located?
In Squirrel Hill on Phillips Avenue, near Shady. Almost at Shady, you remember.
What was that immediate area like at that time?
It was very well kept. It still is, by the way. The householders take a pride in there. But I must be honest. I had always lived in a mixed population neighborhood. And I found this a rather different experience. Although I had very good relations with my neighbors and enjoyed many of them, but it was a new experience for me. And I can't say that I was the most satisfied in the beginning with that, but I adjusted. And it was here that we had our friends come, of course our family, naturally. We both were very devoted to our families. And although my family did not live in Squirrel Hill then, later they moved and were not too far from me. And we had many friends throughout the city, and some, of course, out of town. I remember I had more courage then about having a dinner party than I had later, although I was fortunate. Nate was established in his profession, and I was able always to have the kind of help I needed at the time of entertaining. I didn't know what a lot of young people know when they're first married. I was fortunate that way. We furnished our home immediately, completely. And that was very rare. As I look back, I didn't know it then. And our lives began to... They were very full. And we participated in much of the community's activities, Jewish and non-Jewish. And I continued my work, and then it was time to decide whether we wanted a family or not.